Oh, hello. Hi. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode. I think we call them episodes, Sarah. I'm not quite sure now. Another stream of in-between appointments. We are genuinely in-between appointments here in the Feathers and Florence studio. We've got about half an hour until our next bride comes in, so I've got to be absolutely sharpish. But Melissa, who you will know, allows me half an hour in the studio on my own, which is a rarity. So
that's
I can
brave.
It's very brave, Sarah. Very brave. I'm allowed to do whatever I want for half an hour, and I choose to talk to somebody who is already in the wedding industry, who already knows a lot more about it than me. So I try and widen my knowledge. So I want to say good afternoon to you, Sarah Price. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon to you, Liam. Thank you very much for having me here today.
Genuinely an absolute pleasure. We have always some brilliant interviews on this show. So first of all, I'm going to ask you a question. Where are you and what do you do?
I live just outside of Helston in Cornwall, and I am a celebrant.
Love that. And you've been, because you've been, I seem to remember you were about 3 or 4 years now, a celebrant. How have you, let's go back, let's drive straight into the first question. 2019-18, you're a celebrant, and then all of a sudden 2020 hit. What were your reflections over that time, and you know, what was your mindset throughout that period?
Okay, so in 2019, that's when I set up the celebrant business, October 2019. So I had a good run of 6 months to kind of try and get things set up. And then, of course, COVID hit. And after, as I'm sure most of us, when we were all locked down, most of us went through a few sort of swearing at the screen and, you know, all of that good stuff. I actually used it to tweak the website and learn as much as I could, and just try and build a network online, which actually was largely very successful.
Brilliant.
So it wasn't for me a complete waste of time, and I never had to contend with a lot of clients having to reschedule and reschedule and reschedule. So, yeah.
Was it a case of you questioned that career path? You know, you all of a sudden you're thinking, oh dear, what am I doing here? Or were you think, you know what, I'm going to see it through, because I obviously you believe in what you do. You knew at the time it was the right thing for you to do as a person celebrating with families and brides, and also I know you do funeral services as well. But was there a stage where you thought, oh, actually, am I doing the right thing by continuing?
Do you know, giving up was never even crossed my mind. Having made the decision to start the business, I was all in, and I remained all in. It just didn't put me off. I suppose I must have believed that it would clear up at some stage. I don't know that I knew it would go on for as long as it did. None of us did.
No.
But I truly believed that, yes, this can't last forever. The industry will bounce back. We will be able to do weddings again that are recognisably weddings again. And that is what has happened. So I've just stuck with it, kept going.
And that is absolutely great. So take us right back then. Was it always a dream that you wanted to be in this profession? Where have you come from? What take us right back to the history.
Okay. Well, I am a mum and a grandma, and I've worked on and off, but when I worked back in the day, I did a lot of years, 27, 28 years, mostly on, occasionally on and off, in the hospitality industry. I have always been a people person. So just talking to people, learning their stories, and just building relationships and things is what I've always done. So I've worked in restaurants. I've run my own restaurant. I was the licensee of a pub for 2 years. I've done over 10 years of front of house and weddings and events. And right. so I came at it from that experience, plus 2 years of working with Cornwall Registration Service. So I've seen it from both sides. And I absolutely loved conducting somebody's wedding ceremony. I mean, what's not to like, really? And you go and be part of somebody's special day. So yes, for me, that's where I came from. And when I left the registration service, I missed that sort of ceremony aspect and meeting the couples. But I knew that I could do better. That's not terribly honest, is it? But I knew that I could offer couples more and better.
And there will be a clip up. I don't know why my screen went off then, but I'll click this up. And the question that they may have is, why do I need a celebrant? Why do I need it? Whether it's from a legal point of view or just someone to conduct it, why do couples need celebrants?
Okay. So the registrars, as I know from experience, do a fantastic job. I mean, I'm not disputing how wonderful a job they do. And they, like everybody else in the wedding industry, has been up against it since COVID, you know, lockdown restrictions were lifted. So I'm not for a minute saying that they're not good people and they don't do a good job, but they are limited to a script. And that script can be tweaked here and there, the introduction, the way they say their vows, the way they say that, you know, that's about it, really. they have, if they're paying top whack, they have a choice of three or four, maybe six variations on a theme. Mm. Not very big variations, but they have variations. And it's the same ceremony that hundreds of thousands of other people have had over the years. And if that's what you want, absolutely fine. But you can have a celebrant who will learn your story, who will write you a ceremony that is entirely personal to you. It will be beautiful. It will be happy. It will be fun. Totally, totally unique, because nobody else will ever have your story. Nobody else will ever have your ceremony. That's why you need a celebrant.
I'm in the middle of planning our own wedding at the minute, hopefully in a couple of years' time. And we were saying, well, you know, we don't know what a celebrant does, as in we actually don't know how you start. So a couple will come to you and go, we're looking to get married. We would love you to be part of our ceremony. Where do you start then with that couple? What's the starting point?
Well, unfortunately, we do have to start with the legals. We get that out of the way. They sign a contract. They pay a deposit, save the date retainer. Then they've booked me. The very first thing I do after that is to send them the first of several questionnaires. Excuse me. And my questionnaires ask them things like this. So there's one all about the ceremony, how they envisage the ceremony. But there's lots of questions to help them get through, because, you know, you ask somebody, how do you want your ceremony to be? And they go,
yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, I'm going to do that right now, Sarah.
So I have a series of questions, and they fill those in. There's a questionnaire all about their story. And I ask, again, a series of questions, and I ask them to give me as much information as they can. And I ask them to answer it separately. So I get his version of their story and her version, or should I say partner one's version, partner Absolutely. Two's version. And then I take those versions and create my own version of their story. I don't make anything up. I don't say anything that's going to shock grandma, and I don't say anything that's going to make small children ask awkward questions. So yes, you can thank me later. So yeah, that's kind of how it works. And then you can choose whether you want to see that script before your ceremony.
Okay.
And a lot of my colleagues send it out as a matter of course. But what I've found over the time I've been doing it is that actually my couples want to enjoy the surprise of it with their guests. And then it's sort of even more special because although they know the information they gave me in the story bit, for example, they don't know what the other one has said. So there is an element of surprise there. But it's rather lovely for them to have it as a surprise on their day rather than having been able to read it a gazillion times, by which time it's just old hat and something to get through, which is not what you want.
Now we're getting into some good questions because Melissa and I were talking last night and we decided on what our wedding will look like and we're going to have something with a celebrant. And so I've got a lot of questions now, Sarah. Strap yourself in. So, of course, we've all been to weddings where it's been in a church. A member of the clergy has gone through a full mass, and we know that it takes an hour and a quarter, depending on the religion that you may be. But of course, in a celebrant wedding, where humanist, whatever it may be, there are bits that you won't maybe do hymns and readings from the Bible. So, how long does it take? How long can it be? What elements can you include within that ceremony that you conduct?
Okay. My ceremonies usually are about half an hour. They can be any length that is needed because I only book one ceremony a day, unlike registrars and members of the clergy who can back-to-back weddings. Mm. It's just one per day for a celebrant. Mm. And as to what you could include, if you'd like a hymn, we can have a hymn. If you'd like prayers, we can have prayers. If you'd like someone to play a musical instrument, someone can play a musical instrument. If you'd like lots of readings, we can do lots of readings. Okay. If you'd like to do a hand fasting or a sand ceremony or a cocktail ceremony, and there's loads and loads of different little mini ceremonies that you can include in a celebrant ceremony. Whatever you would like it to be.
Okay. And then I suppose from the legal side of actually getting married, how do you coordinate that side of it, or do they have to go and see the registrar separately? Again, naive question, but people.
It's not a naive question. If you've never been married before, why on earth should you know all this stuff? So, at the moment, you do have to go and see a registrar, and you need to book a no frills in their office quickie ceremony. It is literally 40 words.
Wow.
And you will both of you declare you're legally free to marry. You will both of you contract the marriage. That's the I do bit. And then your two witnesses and the registrars will all sign this marriage schedule. That's it. You're legally married. So the legality, the paperwork side of it is no different than it will be when you go to record the birth of a child, or God forbid, not for a long time, if you have to record a death. Mm. It's just a legality that you have to go through. Now, we have just had a celebrant's cause for, a little bit of celebration. The Law Commission has been cogitating for years now on a completely new approach to the whole wedding law.
Okay.
Currently, the UK operates under, or at least England and Wales still operate under the 1836 Marriage Act. So you can see it's really... totally current and on point. But they finally published their review, and what they are recommending is that independent celebrants and humanist celebrants and other non-faith or non-belief organizations can also nominate members of their group to become allowed to conduct legal marriages. That's the first step. But it's still a long way off, you know. So we've got, you know, it's got to be read and digested by everybody in government. Then the Justice Department have 6 months to do an interim reply and then another 6 months for their final reply before. And if they approve, then it can go before Parliament for someone to draft a bill to, you know, and it will chunter its way through. Fingers crossed. So we are now drumming up as much support as we can.
Yeah, imagine.
Suppliers, couples, and everybody we can, you know, bend an ear for a little while to support this and get in touch with MPs and, you know, put it on your social media and all of that good stuff. So, yeah, it's a very busy and important time for us. But say, in the meantime, we carry on with the system we've got, which is that you do require a legal ceremony with the registrars, and that can be before or after your celebrant ceremony.
I
always tell my couples, take the first slot you can get.
Right, fair enough. And that's good advice. That's good advice. Yeah, just get it done almost, the paperwork side of it.
Yeah. And really, it is just paperwork and signing paperwork, saying a few words, signing the paperwork, and you're done.
Leading on from that, and my next question is going to be about notable ceremonies, et cetera, but I've seen from your website that you are associated with certain organisations which give you some sort of gravitas in that you are who you say you are. How important are them associations to the different, and about the, and you've got, you know, LGBT friendly as well. So how important are they to you? To your couples as well?
I believe they're all terribly important. The AOIC, Association of Independent Celebrants, to me is crucial. That is the one that really does give me my gravitas, for want of a better word. As you know, all the members have to be vetted and approved. You know, we can't you can't just poll up and say, I want to be a member. You actually have to be checked over first. And then I belong to other groups who are equally important in other ways. And I will have directory listings on some of these groups where you can find out more about me and you know, with a view to booking me. So I think they're essential, and I, you know, different couples will find different places to go and find me. The LGBTQ plus sign is more a case of letting that community know that I'm a friend.
Yeah.
No, it's not that I am anything other than white heterosexual myself. But that doesn't preclude the fact that I am open to and friendly to everybody, because in my book, it's really very simple. Love is love, and it comes in many, many packages, and it's still love.
And that, I suppose, that leads me really nicely onto the next question, because in all celebrations, love is love, and all ceremonies, I am sure the stock answer is they're all as memorable and equal as each other. However, I am going to ask you, have you got one or two that stand out in the last 3 years that you think, do you know what, that was where it was just a, you know, kind of perfect for who I am and what I do?
Yeah, I do have one. It was last September, and it was a lovely, lovely couple. It was down in southeast of Cornwall, and they had just six guests.
Wow!
And those guests were their parents and partners of parents, and so it was really intimate and really close. Everyone was very close, and it was just lovely in that respect. And we had the ceremony itself in a lovely little old wooden barn with the guests sitting on hay bales. The ring bearer was Alan, the three-legged poodle, who was an absolute star. And then at the end of the ceremony indoors, we went out into the garden, took our shoes off so we could be bare feet on the ground, and they had a hand fasting ceremony under a great big tree. And each of the pairs of parents came and laid ribbons over their hands, and the couple had created a ribbon as well. And you know, they told them that, you know, as their guests laid the ribbons over, they told them why they'd chosen that, and you know, their wishes for the couple for the future. And then, you know, I said a few words and tied the knot, and then they did the works, and then they slid their hands out and pulled the ends to tie the knot, which forms an infinity symbol. So it's an infinity knot. I'm sure it has a technical sailor type knot name.
I'm sure, yeah.
The celebrant, it's an infinity knot.
It's an incredible thing, the ham fasting. Sorry, carry on.
No, I'm just saying that ceremony in particular was magical. It was a beautiful day. It was in a beautiful setting. And they were just such a lovely couple. I mean, all my couples are lovely, but that one really, really stands out in my mind.
First of all, you are extremely lucky, as I am, to live in a beautiful part of the world, a beautiful part of the UK, and there must be so much choice and diversity to get married in that location. I suppose my question is, you will, I suppose, go anywhere for a ceremony in the UK. Of course, price dependent, we'll put that to one side. But you're not limiting yourself to just the Cornwall and the Devon area, I'm assuming.
I'm not. I mean, that's where I do most of my work, Cornwall, Devon, and up into Somerset. Mm. Although I've done one in Avebury in Wiltshire just recently. Yes, I will travel. And depending on where I'm traveling to, it could be a case of they just pay travel and that's fine, or they pay travel and accommodation, or sometimes, as with the one in Avebury, I actually drove up in my van Gloria and stayed in Gloria.
What a lifestyle. I've got 25 minutes goes past very, very quickly, Sarah, when I've got genuinely lots and lots of questions. But we do keep it to half an hour, quite frankly, because I'm going to be thrown out soon. And maybe I need to extend these sessions so we have an hour in between appointments. But we've got another wonderful bride coming in to see us very, very soon. So, but I am deeply, genuinely deeply, jealousy is not something that I feel, but it's envy that you get to be involved in the ceremony end of the wedding journey. We're right at the very start. We don't actually see the end bit. So I'm very, very envious. And what a life that you must lead. Question then, before my very last question, is there may be people watching this, of course, that go, I actually dream of being a celebrant myself. I think, you know, I've got a great personality. I think I can hold a really good conversation and hold a crowd. Would you advise them to go into it? And what are the steps to start them on that journey?
Well, the first thing you'd need to do is explore training possibilities. There are several training organisations in England. All of them excellent. I don't know if I'm allowed to recommend one in particular.
We're amongst friends.
I mean, I would say go and talk to the people at the Celebrant Circle. Okay. They've been training with different organisations for a long time, and now they've formed their own. So they've got plenty of experience and will definitely set you off on the right path. So it would be worth talking to them. At least in the first instance, to see whether it is for you and to be realistic about how hard you have to work on the marketing side of things, because you are a one-man show. You know, the buck stops here. there isn't sort of magic fairies in the background who will post all your social media for you and do all your correspondence for you. So there's loads and loads of other things to think about other than just standing in front of people for half an hour and saying some lovely words. You need to be able to write, and that's fairly critical. And you need to be able to stand up in front of people and speak confidently. They need to be able to hear what you're saying and enjoy it with everybody. So, yeah, there's lots to think about. But that said, if you think, yes, I am that person, yes, I can do that, then go and check out the training organisations. And any one of them would be happy to talk to you, I'm sure.
Great advice. Last question before I let you go. Where can people go to find out more about you and what you do?
So I am Sarah Price Celebrant just about everywhere. So kept it really simple. So my website is sarahpricecelebrant.co.uk. My Instagram handle is @SarahPriceCelebrant. My Facebook handle is Sarah Price Celebrant. So it's really, really very simple. And I'm Sarah Price on LinkedIn as well. And I think I might even be on Pinterest, although I haven't checked that out recently.
But you might have loads of messages, Sarah. You might have loads.
I might have. But the Sarah is without an H. So please, please, please make sure you type it correctly if you're going to come looking for me.
Of course. Of course. Genuinely, thank you so much. I've got loads of questions. Maybe in a few months, we'll get you on again and ask you some more, because I'll need some more advice on getting married, of course. So there we go. But thank you so much for joining us for this half an hour, Sarah. We will get it chopped up. If you've just missed this, I think you can rewind it. We'll get it chopped up. We'll play it out all next week on different platforms. Thank you, Sarah. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy the beautiful countryside that is Cornwall. And and we will hopefully see you soon.
Thank you very much, Liam. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. See you, everybody. See you next time. 2 o'clock next Friday, where we have Amy Brown, who is a makeup artist extraordinaire from the Lake District, another beautiful part of the world where we are. So see you all soon. Bye.
Bye.
Today, you are holding the hands of your best friend, young and strong and full of love for you, as you promise to love each other forever. These are the hands that will love you. These are the hands that will hold you and comfort you through the years. These are the hands that will give you encouragement and support. These are the hands that you will each work with, create with, and use to build your life together. Congratulations, you're now married. You may kiss.